Our junior church is dismissed, and all right. Uh-oh. Gotta have a glitch this morning. Let's see if we can get this going here. Yes, dear. It was funny because during the singing, all of a sudden I get this, my screen here glitches, and I'm like, uh-oh. So I'm up here, you guys are singing away, and I'm up here panicking because I'm like, uh-oh. All right, you know what? All right. That's not good. All right, you know what? I got the PowerPoint, you don't, so you have to listen to me. All right. Grab your Bibles, please. The book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. And continuing on, really, this is part two of what we've been going through. And so, talking about being filled. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, says this, "And then when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through a dark places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order." And it's interesting because we start looking at this and we think of the idea that God just wants to clean us up. You know, oftentimes we turn around and look at, oh, there you go. You know, we think that God just wants to clean us up. And we look at people's lives, and oftentimes we think that, hey, you know what? We look at people, we look at the problems, right? We look at the drug uses, or maybe we look at, abusing their marriages. We look at all these other things. And we say, oh, if we only fix this problem, then everything is okay. No, those things are just symptoms that they need God in their life. God doesn't want to just clean us up. Religion isn't just made to just clean us up. But in here, as we walk with the Lord and we have a spirit-filled life, that in there he changes us from the inside out. And that's a permanent change. And not just because of the pressures from the outside. Because what happens here, Jesus goes on in chapter 12, says that an unclean spirit goes out of a man. He goes through dry places seeking rest, finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered and dwelled there, and the last day of the man is worse than the first. So it shall be with this generation. That in you, the idea of just cleaning up someone, thinking that solves the problem, it doesn't. And actually, sometimes in their lives, sometimes the end result is worse. I found it interesting. Over the years, I've gotten involved in various jails ministries, and I've gone down to jails and ministered to some of the men who are incarcerated. And I find it interesting because sometimes they come out because, hey, here's a chance to get out of my cell for a while, so I'll go to the church service. Right? And there is some of that. And sometimes they're in desperation, and in there, you reach out to God. I want God in my life to sort of alleviate the consequences of what I've done. And some of these guys come faithful to the Bible studies while they're there. But you know what happens? Oftentimes they get out and they start hanging out with their friends again. And all of a sudden they're back in that old lifestyle. And sometimes that fall is deeper than where they were to begin with. The other thing is Jesus is here, he's talking to the religious leaders. And I think there's a warning of cleaning someone up. All of a sudden, now, hey, I got my life together. Now all of a sudden, you know, I'm better than I was. And I become a self-righteous person. And it's interesting, as you look at the life of Christ, the people he came down hard on wasn't the sinners who needed him. It was those who thought they were holy and didn't. And so a religious person without Christ, you can say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. No, people are religious, but all having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There are some very good people. I remember talking to someone, and they were like, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to hang out with those Christians because, you know, the guy down the road's a better person than the Christian who goes to church. And I said, you know, there are cases like that. Right? Just because I'm a Christian doesn't excuse me from being a jerk. I could be a jerk sometimes. And we all know Christians who can be jerks.
a self-righteous person. Right? You know people that way. They're good, moral, wholesome people with good families. But they don't know the Lord. And that's a more dangerous position, because God wants to bring us to a point in our lives where we need Him. Someone once said that it's hard to save someone who doesn't realize they're lost. And that's what he talks about here. The condition is worse at the end. So in here, you know, the world talks about emptying yourself. The Bible doesn't say that. Actually, the Bible says it's the opposite. It's a fillist. And so last week we looked at the idea and spent the whole time talking about the base of it all is being filled with the Holy Spirit. That when you give your life to Christ, you accept that He is God, that He died on the cross for your sins, and you invite Him into your life, the Bible says He gives you the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ is not His. You cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you are given the Holy Spirit. And not just a little bit of the Holy Spirit, you're given all of it. Right? Now, the question is, do we acknowledge it? And then we talk about the idea of being filled with the Spirit. That we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, but do we acknowledge Him? Do we give Him control of our lives? That's a whole different story. The book of Ephesians gives this comparison. It says, do not be drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? If you're drunk, the alcohol's in control. He says, don't do that. But be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to have control of your life. So He's in me, He's dwelling in me, but do I listen to Him? And the Bible talks about there's two things that we can do with the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him, that we are bringing Him in places and feeding into us things that are displeasing to Him, and we grieve the Spirit. We make Him sad by what we do. Don't do that! The other one is talks about being quenching the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is working in us, encouraging us. If you're a Christian, you've heard that still small voice that you knew was God kind of talking to you. And you're like, shh, 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 quiet, quiet. Right? You feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit telling you to do something or not to do something. And we quench it and we turn it aside and we say, I don't listen to that. And that's a very dangerous game for Christians to play, because one of the most dangerous things we can have is we get to a point where we no longer hear the voice of God because we hushed Him so much that we ignore that voice. But by doing what He wants, heeding Him, surrendering our lives to Him, then in here we become Spirit-filled. Spirit controlled in our lives. So we talked about that last week. But we were told not only to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but in here we're commanded to be filled with comfort. Look what it says here in the book of Colossians. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4 says, I am acting with great boldness towards you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with, what's that word? Comfort. Find comfort in the Lord. Now, how do you do that? Right? How do you find comfort in the Lord? In Him. Seek out satisfaction from Him. You know, ever had a bad day? Come home, and you just want to grab that gallon of ice cream and just kind of find comfort in that. It's so good. Find solace and comfort in those things. Folks, do we do that with God? That He is the source of our comfort. You know, so many things in this world that we turn to. Maybe it's a show, maybe it's some music, or maybe these other things that we turn to in our lives to find comfort, to find solace from this world. And what we're told here by Paul is to be filled with the comfort of the Lord. Look to the Lord for comfort. When you are in distress, go to Him in prayer. When you don't know what to do, go to Him in prayer. He becomes that source of comfort in our life that never passes away. Look what else he says here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If you have any question what this verse is about, notice what it says, comfort, comfort, comfort. That in this world, in our tribulations, right? Being a Christian doesn't make us immune from the tribulations of this world. Actually, I'm going to toss this out there. If you've been watching the news lately, I believe we're heading to an area of more tribulation for the church. For those who are going to stand on the Word of God, for what He says, that in here we're going to suffer greater persecution. I believe that with my whole heart. That things are going to get, I want to say worse, but greater is He is in us than He is in the world. But things will become more challenging. I believe as a church we are going to be facing tribulation. But we find comfort in the Lord in these things. As we find satisfaction in Him. And we find His good pleasure, His good will in our lives. That in here I am comforted that I am His. And He's got a hold of me. When I don't know what to do, I go to Him. Pour out my heart and soul to Him in prayer. Seek out His word. Find that satisfaction within that, that comforts our soul. And I love this passage because what happens as a body, as a group of believers, as we are together as a family, that in here, as I have learned God's comfort, I turn around and give that comfort to you. And I think going forward in the days that we're facing, we're not designed to face this all alone. We are designed to be together. I can't tell you what it means to have people say, I'm praying for you, Pastor. How are you doing? To find that love and compassion poured out, that you have found the comfort of God, and God is using you to comfort me in my distress. And hopefully, God is using me to comfort you in your time of distress. And it all comes from Him. Be filled with His comfort. What are you finding that comfort in? The things of the world? It won't last. But finding comfort in God. And be filled with that comfort. Second thing we're going to look at this morning. Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His comfort. Be filled with His joy. The book of Romans says this. Says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And that you may be abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His joy. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you find joy in God? Truly, I mean, you know, the world offers all kinds of temporary amusements. But they're fleeting. And they don't last. Now, joy is different from happiness. Right? There are things that make me happy. You know, we were praying for Paul and COVID, and I have a pastor friend of mine who just messaged me last night and goes, pray for me. He goes, I'm on my third bout of COVID now. And he goes, and each one has gotten worse for him. He goes, pray for me. And so when I had COVID, I put on there, I said, you know what, I'm going to find my own cure. So I put on there, whoopie pie. Did anyone see that on Facebook? I said, you know, chicken wings, meatballs, and I think whoopie pies. And someone suggested strawberry shortcake. And my wife's like, don't put any pressure on me. So, but she did. She brought me all the things I asked for, and I got better. And I liked it. I was happy. You want to put a smile on my face? Give me some chicken wings. I mean, it is nature's goodiness right there. I mean, it's just puts a smile on my face. But you know what? It's gone when it's gone. And actually, something's crazy happening because chicken wings prices have gone right up there with steak. I mean, it's like, it's a leftover part of the bird. And now it's like, crazy inflation. But it's fleeting. It's gone. You eat it and you're satisfied for a while. And then guess what? The next few hours, well, it depends on who you are. Me, within the next few hours, I'm hungry again. Right? The satisfaction of this world, the joy of this world is fleeting and is short. And people will pursue their happiness or their joy in this world with all their heart. And they pursue things. And it's just an endless cycle of chasing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He gives us His joy. And it's not from the outside, but it's from the inside. We can be filled with the joy of the Lord even in our tribulations and struggles, because I know the Lord loves me. I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me. The joy of the Lord. We're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told to be filled with comfort. We're told to be filled with joy. We're told to be filled with righteousness. Paul told the Philippians, it says, be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Now, you think of the idea of fruit. We're getting in towards the end of the year, and people are starting to harvest their fruit, and things are coming to the full cycle. But it's after hard work, right? It's just being nourished and taken care of, that through all those nutrients and the sunshine all go through the tree, and then that has its perfect work in producing the fruit. In our lives, when we pursue the righteousness, when we pursue the right things, anytime you see the word righteous, just think of the idea of doing the right thing. When we pursue doing the right thing in our lives, there is a fruit that comes from it. Now, it always isn't instantaneous. That's why I'm a horrible gardener. I don't have patience. I'm one of these guys that, I'll go out, and if I plant a seed, I go out the next day and I'm disappointed because it hasn't grown yet. It's like, right? But it takes work. It takes patience, which I lack sometimes. But it takes care and nurture, but in those things. And doing the right thing is kind of the same thing. As I pursue of doing the right thing, I don't instantaneously get sometimes the results of that. Years ago, a gentleman called me up, and he was going through some marriage problems and fighting over custody with kids. It was just kind of a whole messy thing. I said, well, how's your walk with the Lord? He goes, well, it's not that good. I said, you need to find yourself a church. Go to a church. Get involved in the church. Get under the word. So he called me up about a week later, and he goes, oh, I went to church this week. I was like, great. How's it going? He goes, oh, I really like the church. I really fit in. I said, fantastic. Talked to him 3 weeks later. He called me up. He goes, look, I've gone to church for 3 weeks. I was like, great. He goes, how long do I have to keep this up? I said, what do you mean, how long do I keep this up? He goes, I've been going to church for 3 weeks, and my ex-wife is still giving me a hard time, and my kid doesn't want to see me. He goes, I've done this for 3 weeks. How much longer do I have to do this until everything's fixed? I said, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says we will reap if we don't grow weary. Right? To be faithful of doing the right thing. But in that, it produces a fruit in our lives. And what are the fruits, right? We have the Holy Spirit in my life. I give Him control. I surrender to Him. I listen to Him. I feed Him with the word of submitting myself to the hand of God in my lives. And as we do those things, as I do the right thing, as I take God's word and apply it to my life, right? Not be like James. In the book of James says, look, don't be just hearers, but be doers. Right? I mean, I can read a gardener book all day long, but until I get my hands in the dirt, it does no good. Right? If I take God's word in my life, I need to follow through with it. I need to apply it to my life. And as we do those things, it will produce a fruit that comes from the inside. And Galatians tells us this is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. That, look, these are the products. If I walk with the Lord, if I'm in His Word, spend time in prayer with Him, surrender and do what He asks me to do, that in here He will start producing in me. And look at the list. Love. Right? God will produce in me a love and a compassion for those around me. And I think we need a whole lot of that in this world today. We are so filled with hate. Even Christians. I think there's an anger that we see, and some people are angry with what's going on in our government. Some people are angry with what's going on in our society. We look at all those things, it's easy to have anger swell up in us. But what we need is the love. Jesus Christ Himself stood over Jerusalem, and He wept over them because He loved them. And often He said, I wanted to gather you up. Folks, in this world, what this world needs is our compassion. And in here, lead us to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what the world needs is Him. And Lord, I need Your love to flow through me. But Pastor, they're unlovely. Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. Jesus Himself said, look, He is the great physician. Right? I had to go down and had some blood work done in the clinic. And so I went in there and got to go through this whole thing. Because it's funny, you go in there and it says, oh, before you come in, call the number. So I'm standing behind the door looking at the lady in the glass, calling her. Say, I'm here, can I come in? Well, you got a mask, you got to sanitize, you got to turn yourself about, you got to do all these things. And so I did all that. I sat down and I'm thinking, I'm sitting there and there's people who are coughing and hacking. And I'm like, man, I don't like to be around sick people. I'd be a horrible doctor. Right? But guess what? You go down to the health clinic, and guess what kind of people you find? Sick people that need a doctor. Right? We are in a world that, Lord, open my eyes to have love for the world around me that's lost and needs You. And that means we got to roll up our sleeves and go where they are. Love, joy. We talk about being filled with joy, with God's peace. Lord, do I have Your peace in all of this? And we don't need peace in the calmness of life. We need peace in the chaos of life. Lord, calm my soul. Because I know You're in control. Lord, You got this. Long-suffering. Oh, Lord, help me be patient. Patience is one of those things that I like when people are patient with me. Right? Lord, help me be patient with other people. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And I think this last one, it's funny because it's at the end of the list and sometimes we forget about it, self-control. I'm going to tell you something that's really radical in today's society. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And we hear so much. Well, I want this. This is. I want to love who I want to love. I want to do what I want to do. Right? Look, just because I have the desire for something doesn't mean it's right. And Lord, give me the Spirit of God within my life to produce in me self-control, to do what is profitable, and not just because I can. I warn you, we got seven of these, so I'm flying through them. It says to be filled with what? The knowledge of His will. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. And so from that day, we heard that we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What is the will of God? What does God want you to do? Now, some of this is difficult. You know, God, do you want me to have this job or that job? You know, do you want me to live in this town or that town? Lord, do you want me to be married to this person or not? What do you want from me? And some of those details, God works out along the way. But can I tell you something? That in here, the Word of God has so much of what God wants for us to do. There is so much that God has laid out for us, if we read it, that this is His will. Look, I know it's God's will that everyone be saved. So I should pursue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know it's God's will. You know, I've been married, it'll be 34 years this week. Right? I know it's God's will for us to work out our marriage. You know, she kind of jokes that, you know, 34 years and, you know, we promised for better or for worse. She says I owe her some better years to even it out over the course of time. That's God's will. Years ago, a young lady came down, sat down with my wife and said, you know, he goes, oh, I met a man and I'm really praying if it's God's will for us to get married. And she goes, yeah. She goes, you know, as soon as he leaves his wife, he goes, we'll be so happy together. And she asked my wife, she goes, will you pray if this is God's will? She goes, I don't have to pray. I know what God's will is for him to work it out with his wife. And she got mad and she left. But once again, if we consume ourselves with following the known will of God, he'll fill in the details along the way. Are we doing what we know what God wants us to do? So be filled with the knowledge of his will, to be filled with good things. Good things. Luke starts off this way. He says, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Look, folks, it's the richness of this world doesn't make us happy. But God fills us with good things. And can I tell you something? Most of the good things in my life aren't things. And we lose track of our priorities of life. I had an opportunity yesterday to go to a celebration of life, and I always find it interesting going to funerals, and people are like, oh, I haven't seen you since the last funeral. You know, or I haven't seen you in 20 years, and we all drift. We all go far away, and yet when we come together, it's a precious thing. We need more of that. We really do. To be less consumed with the busyness of life and be more involved in the people and invest in ourselves in the important things. Paul tells the Philippians this way. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Folks, if we just focus, last week I mentioned, that if we turn around and we consume ourselves with doing what we're supposed to be doing, we won't have time to do the things we're not supposed to be doing. Right? If we're busy doing what we're supposed to be doing, we won't have time to do what we're not supposed to do. Same thing with our thoughts. Right? And I'm just as guilty of this, because I'll turn on the news, or I'm one of these guys that listen to talk radio, and I've always been weird. But even when I was in high school, all my friends would walk around blasting their radios. I had an awesome AM radio in my car. Back in the 80s, I listened to talk radio. And I would, my friends would drive up and they'd blast their music while I turn around and blast the talk radio. And they're like, you're not right. You're just not normal, John. I haven't changed much. I hit a chord somewhere. But, and I'm still to that day. I go in and I turn on the talk radio, or I listen to a sermon, or go home and, the family leaves the room, I turn it to the news. I get so consumed in that, and I got to be careful, because I find myself getting very negative in my thoughts. I get very discouraged in my thoughts. If I look at the things of this world, I don't see much hope at all. And I'm a pretty optimistic guy. But can I tell you something? Over the last couple of years, I feel like my hope and my joy is being just sucked right out of me. Well, that tells me, guess what? My eyes are on the wrong place. I need to start looking up, feed myself with the word, turn some of this stuff off. And I have it over the course of time, where I've gone through the sort of media fast, where I look, I can't turn it, I can't do this anymore, because it's affecting me. And here's the checklist, is what I'm watching, if what I'm listening to, right? Facebook is just as bad. Radio, all these things start sucking all the joy out of my life because I'm focusing on the cares of this world. And here's the checklist. Finally, brother, where things are true, where things are noble, where things are just, where things are pure, where things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. And I find myself, often what I'm feeding myself on don't bring any of these things. And I suffer for it. But if I spend my day looking for the good, the pure, the lovely things of this world, that changes me. Because God is so good, isn't he? God's still working. We're seeing him answering prayers. We're seeing his blessings poured out on us. Right? And we're so missing it. We're sort of like little kids. You ever dish up a plate of goods, for your kid, and there's that one food they don't like. Maybe it's a mushroom, or maybe it's a green pepper, or they're, so you got this whole plate of good stuff.
And they look down, and all they see
is the mushroom.
You're like, just pick around it. Just look, you like this. You like this. You like this. But there's a mushroom touching it. Well, don't look at it. That's all they can see. They miss all the goodness over the one thing. And folks, it's so easy to fall into that. That in here, I need to be filled with good things. And lastly, it says to be filled with the knowledge of his will, be filled with good things, be filled with the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Ephesians tells us this, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, as you may be filled with the fullness of God. I love this verse because it talks about the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You know, if we just look around us and watch the news and look what's going on, and we would just give up hope. But the love of God surpasses all that. Peter tells us to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Right? You know, why are we different? Hopefully we're different. Because I have Christ in my life. That I don't draw my satisfaction, I don't take and draw the peace that I have in my life from this world. Jesus says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives it. Because what's hard, especially today, if you found your peace or your acceptance in the world today, you better buckle up because it's changing every day. Right? You know, certain words you're supposed to say and not say. You keep track of what's acceptable and what's not. That changes every day. But I don't get my joy from that. I get it from the Lord. And here's the cool thing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And I'll tell you something, that bucks the world system. You know, over the course of, I don't know, especially the last couple of years, I hear more and more talk to people say, you know, if the church just changes and catches up with the time, if they just accept things as normal, even though the Bible says it's different, if you just adjust yourself to us. And I'm like, God's word doesn't change. It is true. It is right. And Lord, let me stand on that. I love the verse. It says, he's the rock that is higher than I. He's the rock that doesn't change. And let me stand on him. And in here, be filled with the fullness of God. That in my life, in my heart, that he can take control of all of it. All of my life. God doesn't want to be just closed off in the one little section of my life. Right? Well, it's Sunday, I put on my God hat, and I got my own little God thing. Now it's Monday, and now I put on this other hat, and you know, and we go through life. God wants all of us. The fullness of God in our lives. That God should have an impact in every aspect, every corner of my life, not just a sliver of it. And for me, that was, you know, the story of my testimony. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to church. But I just wanted to take God on to my life. And God says, no, John, I want all of you. You know? God wants all of us. How much of your life belongs to him? Lord, take me all. I belong to you.
And Lord, fill me with your goodness. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with your peace.
Fill me with your spirit, Lord. You have every aspect of my life.
That's the only difference that changes things from the inside out. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, as I seek it, I get to know you. And Lord, as I know you, I love you more. Lord, produce in me your fruit. Produce in me your love. Produce in me your joy. But Lord, that's only through a surrendered life. Lord, I pray each one here this morning will open our hearts to you. Surrender to you. Stop resisting. And Lord, may be filled with your spirit. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.